Zvachim Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalad, more Me'ila business. Olas Ha'of Sha'asa Olamata. If he took an Olas Ha'of, which has to be done in the upper half of the Mizbeach, and instead he performed it below the Chod HaSikra at floor level, and Kimase Chatos L'Shem Chatos, it's supposed to be an Ola, but he performed the Malika like a Chatos is done, where the Malika did not sever the head of the bird, the blood was sprinkled on the side of the Mizbeach, and the remainder drained below the Chod HaSikra the way it was supposed to be, and he did it as a Chatos under the name of a Chatos, L'Shem Chatos. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mo'alen Bo. Rabbi Eliezer says it's susceptible to Me'ila anyway. Once you dedicate an oath to be an Ola, a burnt offering, which the Kohanim can't eat, it cannot be exempted from Me'ila. Me'ila always applies. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Ein Mo'alen Bo. Rabbi Yoshua says it's not susceptible to Me'ila, because by calling it by all the Chatos names, it's treated as a Chatos. And by Chatos, Me'ila is not susceptible in this situation, like we saw in the previous Mishnah. I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer objected. He said to Rabbi Yoshua, Ma im Chatos she'ein Mo'alen Bo l'shma. Whereas when it comes to a chatos of a bird, that when the Kohen brings the carbon under its own name, it is not susceptible to Me'ila. Mo'alen Bo, so it's a chatos that he did by the wrong name, Kishishina Shema Mo'alen Bo. When he does change the name and tries to call it by an Ola, then it is susceptible to Me'ila. It became invalid. It's unfit for Kohanim. Ola Shemo'alen Bo L'Shma, an Ola, which is liable to Me'ila in the first place, since the whole thing has to be offered on the Mizbeach, if somebody uses it for benefit, that's pure Me'ila. Well then, if he did it under some other name, shouldn't it be susceptible to Me'ila as well? So a Chatos, people used to be able to eat part of it, and Me'ila applies. An Ola, which you could never eat, surely Me'ila must apply. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua lo. So Rabbi Yeshua said no. No, too bad. Why not? Im amarta b'chatos sheshino ashma l'shem ola. Whereas, in the case of the chatos, he changed the name, he changed the intention to that of an ola, which is chayev for me'ila. Shekein shino ashma l'davar sheyesh bo me'ila. A chatos that he calls an ola, he is changing it into something that me'ila applies. Because me'ila always applies to a carbon ola. That's not comparable to an Ola that he said should be a Chatos, because he's changing it into something where Me'ila does not apply. So when you change it from a Chatos and call it an Ola, you're going up a level into Me'ila territory. When it's supposed to be an Ola, but you change it to a Chatos, you're leaving Me'ila territory and going into something that doesn't have Me'ila. As such, they're not comparable, and your Kal V'chomer doesn't work. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer tries a slightly different tack. He says to Rabbi Yoshua, V'arei kodshe kodshim shechaton bedarom. What if you have the kodshe kodshim karbonos, and he shechts them incorrectly on the south side of the Azara, even though, as we learned in Parakei, kodshe kodshim have to be shechted in the north side. U'shechaton l'shem kodshim kalim. And if he shechts them under the name of a lesser carbon like a shlamim, a kudshim kalim, which can be shechted anywhere in the Azara, this should, yochichu, make my kal v'chomer hold water better. In a case where you shecht kudshe kudshim in the wrong place, but call them by the name kudshim kalim, chekein shino ashaman l'davar she'ein bo mo'ila, by changing it to kudshim kalim, he's taking it down a notch into something that's not a me'ila type of situation. In Kachim Kalim, only the Emurim parts, only the ones that are burnt on the Zbech, are susceptible to Me'ila once the Zrika happens. But the rest of the carbon is not susceptible to Me'ila. So if you change Kachim Kachim to Kachim Kalim, which are now not susceptible to Me'ila, Umo'alin Bohen, but the Halacha is that they are susceptible to Me'ila, because by sprinkling the Dam of Kachim Kachim, which was shechted in the wrong place, they are still have Me'ila charges associated with them. So I have the exact thing you're trying to disprove. Rabbi Yoshua said, if you take it from Me'ila Ola and turn it into non-Me'ila Chatos, Me'ila should not apply. But I have Me'ila Kachim Kachim that were turned by mistake into Me'ila Kachim Kalim, and Me'ila still applies. So my Kal V'chomer is exactly like that. Af Ata Omer Al Tisma Al HaOla. So you too should agree with me, and you have no right to question me, because I have proof from this Kachi Kachim, Kachi Kalim example, that if you change from a Me'ila status and mistakenly announce it to be a non-Me'ila status, it does not wipe out the Me'ila application. Me'ila still applies. That should be true by our Ola that you tried to turn into a Chatas. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua lo, Rabbi Yeshua says no again. Im amarta b'kachi kachim sheshchatat b'darom, u'shchatan l'shem kachim kalim. When it comes to your proof, kachi kachim transformed to kachi kalim, where they took kachi kachim like an Ola or something that was supposed to be shechted in the north, they shechted it in the wrong place in the south, and they had in mind the wrong kind of carbon, they said it should be for shlamin, for kachi kalim. Shekin shinor shemam b'davar sheyeshbo iser v'heter. They changed it into Kachei Kalim, which includes something forbidden and something permitted. Kachei Kalim have a special unique status because their emurim are susceptible to Me'ila, forbidden, but their meat is not susceptible to Me'ila, it's permitted. That's different from an Ola. Tomar ba'ola sheshino shema b'davar shekulo heter. By taking an Ola, whose name he changed, into a Chatas, the chatas of a bird has no emurim. The chatas of a bird, once it's eligible for Kohanim to eat, is not susceptible to Me'ila. That's different. There's no iser part and mutter part. There is no usser part. So as a result, says Rabbi Yoshua, it's not a perfect kal v'chomer, and you don't have a proof that when you lower the status, that Me'ila should automatically continue to follow. And in fact, halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua's upshlug of Rabbi Eliezer's Kal V'chomer, and Rabbi Yehoshua prevails, and says that if you had a carbon olas ha'of, and you called it by the name Chatas, and you shechted it in the wrong place on the lower half of the Mizbeach, there is no Me'ila from it, if one illegitimately uses it. Although it was supposed to be an Ola, now it's just a pasul of carbon, and Me'ila will not apply. Mishnehe, Molach b'smol. What if he did some other disqualification aside from the ones we've talked about so far? The Kohen performed Maliko with the thumbnail of his left hand, which is invalid because in the Torah, whenever it says Bohen Yado Hayimonis, it always means the right hand. O Belaylo, or he did Maliko at night, which is not allowed because karbonos have to be brought during the day. Shachat Chulin Bifnim, Bekotchim Bachutz. Or if he shechted a chulin bird inside the azara, which makes it treif, he can't eat it. Or he shechted kachim, a bird that's supposed to be sacrificed as a carbon, outside the azara, so it's disqualified. So we have all these different disqualifications. Einan metamin beveis habalia. If somebody eats them, then he is not going to become tamei from eating them. Because even though they're unfit for consumption, they are not called a nevela, and they don't bring tumma to somebody who eats them. Malak b'sakin. What if he performed malika with a knife instead of his fingernail? Then it's not even considered malika at all, but it's also not shechita because he went from the back of the neck instead of the front of the neck. Malak chulin b'fnim b'kachim b'chutz. If he did malika on chulin in the azara, malika is only supposed to be for karbanas, so he shouldn't have done that on a plain old piece of meat. Or he did malika on kachim outside the azara, which is not allowed because you can't do malika for a karban outside the azara. Torin Shalohi Yozmanon, if he performed Malika on underage turtle doves, they didn't bring an ID when they came in, they're not yet fit for a carbon, or, once you do underage, Uvne Yonash Avarzmanon, turtle doves, which are older than the proper age, overgrown turtle doves. The Gemara in Chulin explains what the maximum age for pigeons is and the minimum age for turtle. The minimum age for Torin and the maximum age for Bnei Yona. So again, all of these are additional disqualifications not having to do with what we've seen with intent before, or even the sacrificial rite, because here he's either doing not a malika, like with a knife, wrong time, or a malika on the wrong kind of bird. She Yavesh Gapa. He did malika on a bird whose wing was withered. Normally, a bird with a mum is still fit for a carbon because mumin, the whole Torah of mumin, has to do with animals. But a bird lacking an organ, that would be different. And a case where it's got a withered wing, or v'shenist meis eina, it has a blinded eye, v'shenikta a ragla, or it has a foot that had been cut off, so it's a chicken on a peg leg. All of these situations, mitame beves habliya, they cause tumah to somebody who eats and swallows them because they have a status of nevela of a kosher bird. The malika is not a valid shechita, or the malika was an invalid malika, and nothing was done properly. So even if you put them on the mizbeach, they would have to take them off the mizbeach immediately because they're not fit to be on the mizbeach. They're not fit to eat. Zeha klal, here is the general rule. Kol shehaya psula bakodesh, eino mitame beves habliya. Any bird that is fit to have a carbon that underwent malika inside the azara but became unfit in the azara for a different reason, like left-hand malika, nighttime, that would not cause tumah when somebody swallows it because the malika exempts the bird from being an avela. On the other hand, lo haya psula bakodesh, if it was not because it became unfit in the azara, but it was before it reached the azara, it was missing an eye, it was missing a foot, it was unfit for a carbon, it was an invalid malika, it was performed with a knife, all these other ones, then metama beves habliya. That would cause tuma to somebody who was going to swallow it and eat it because he's eating nevela. And by eating nevela, then he's got other problems now. Finally, b'chala psulim shemolku malikasan psula, any unfit people, psulim like a non-kohen, an onen, a tful yom, people listed at the beginning of Perek Beis in our Masechta, who perform malika, then their malika is pasul, it is invalid, because it has to be done by a fit kohen. Ve'ena metamos beves habliya, but they do not render tumah when somebody eats them, because this is considered becoming pasul in the azara, being pasul in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, because a malika was performed. It was just the wrong kind of malika, and it's a psul that happened there on the floor of the azara. Due to this malika, they wouldn't be removed from the mizbeach if they had been put up there, and so they are not going to convey tumah as an avela to the person who eats them.